This episode of Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor is brought to you by the awesome people over at Apex Entertainment. Apex, located in Marlboro, is located right off Route 495 on Route 20. It's 100,000 square feet of pure fun for all ages. There's always perfect weather at Apex Entertainment, and it's an ideal location for a birthday party, corporate outing, or special event. Or, you know what, just to go and have some fun. Attractions include 30 bowling lanes, multi-level indoor go-kart track, laser tag, bumper cars, rope course, and arcade. Go check out apexentertainment.com. Razor and I thanks Apex Entertainment for all of their support. Welcome in to Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor. We're getting right to it. They were singing, they were chanting, they were having a good old time at TD Garden on Wednesday night as the Boston Bruins easily handle, almost dismantle, in fact, the Montreal Canadiens 5-1. Razor, were they doing the ole, ole, ole when you were in TO, buddy?
Oh, and in Boston and Montreal, the oles were loud and furious every Saturday night for Hockey Night in Canada. So I was thinking about that when the Bruins were doing it. I was impressed that everyone was still paying attention.
Yeah, a good crowd on hand. You know, another big crowd, 17,850 announced at TD Garden. And they had a really good time, and they had a really good time from the get-go. We'll fly through this game, and I'm not going to dismiss the Montreal Canadiens as not a challenge, but the reality is they're a shell of their team that they were last year at the end of the playoffs, which, you know, everybody talks about them making their run to the Stanley Cup. This isn't even a team that remotely looks like that, Razor. I mean, you're starting without Carey Price, and then you don't have Shea Weber, and you don't have Edmondson, and you don't have Corey Perry and Stahl. I mean, right there alone is major size and major leadership.
But well, not to mention Anderson, Toffoli, brutal.
Right, not in the lineup. So, but with all that said, it's still a game in the middle of January. You got to show up for it. And the Bruins did from the opening faceoff, and in particular, Brad Marchand stepped up, came through, dominated. Dominated. I mean, he was the MVP of the game, the number one star, la première étoile, in the first period. Yes. If he just sat down after that, I mean, that's about as much French as I know there. They have nobody that could stop him. I'm looking at that, bud, right? And they had nobody that could handle him.
No, they have nobody that could really handle most of the team. It was. Good job on the Bruins, staying focused long enough, staying clinical enough, and just going in surgeon-like, dismantling it. And of course, it's Brad who leads the way for this group.
He goes to the net. I mean, he just, you know, that's where all of his goals were scored. I mean, Nosek with a beautiful pass. Welcome back, Tomáš. I mean.
Oh, he made a difference right away, huh?
Didn't he? The fourth line the last game, two games, been good. Right? I mean, they've been good, but he's a difference maker, man. It's just no denying right now, fourth line, difference maker. And thankfully, we actually are saying that, because for a while earlier this year, we liked him, but we weren't sure what the fourth line was going to be. Well, I won't put words in your mouth. I think we really like him right now.
Yeah, I love him. And obviously, he's being complimented now. I think that was the issue we had prior to earlier in the season. But yes, back to Brad, just all his goals from 5 feet away. Yeah. Nothing pretty, but it's three more on the scoreboard. It's incredible.
Yeah, I love the I love him killing penalties, and we've talked about that, how much of a weapon he and Patrice are. But the drive, the hunger to get to that puck, low slot after the funny carom in the second period. It wasn't even funny. It was just a big carom, and both he and Patrice are, you know, Patrice is kind of lunging at it, swatting at it, and Marchand is just coming in hot, man. He's just coming right back to that puck. Hungry, hungry hippo trying to munch on that one. And he gets it and puts it in. And in fact, you know, look, besides Brad's goal, Lazar's goal in front of the net, you know, Vakanainen's was a long shot, but the Bruins did a really good job, except for the first 7 minutes of the game. I may have my time off. When did Brad score his first goal? He scored a 14:43. I mean, yeah, maybe the first 7-8 minutes when I actually thought Montreal did a nice job in the neutral zone against the Bruins, Razor. I thought they did. I thought they played, when I say sharp, they were at least on. But then the Bruins just kept at it, and they started getting pucks in deep and attacking the net.
And Cam alluded to ugly goals over the break, and that's what these guys are getting, those uglier ones, those the ones off Lazar off the shin pad. We've been dying for those ones for probably a year and a half now. More of those goals, letting it just hit people. Vakanainen, Montembeau does a bad job projecting through a screen. It just hits them and bounces in. But it's about getting the pucks through. We've talked about that for at least the last 4 or 5 months. Defensemen pounding that through, getting that little wrister through. And that's a perfect case of it from Vakanainen tonight. So, I mean, realistically, it could... Could the last 7 games have gone any better for this team out of this break?
No. Even the loss you can tolerate.
Yeah.
I mean, because it wasn't like they got, it wasn't a shitstorm that game. You know what I mean? It wasn't an awful, it okay, you want to win, but you're not going to win every game in the NHL. And it was still a good effort. You know, it was, they still did some good things. And so I think the good habits are there right now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it just, everything's clicking. Everything's clicking. All the issues, all the concerns, everything you're wondering has been laid to rest, at least in the last 8 games. Really impressive job from everybody.
Yeah, and like, we know that the schedule was favorable, but yet, you know, they still go out and they beat the Tampas and the Washingtons, and they do it beautifully. And, you know, we haven't talked since the Washington game. We worked together at Nesson. Boy, oh boy, could that game have gone a different way, down 2-0. And I mean, in Washington, in a place, and while you being the Bruins, have done well against the Caps the last now 10 games, previous 9 games, that just had a feel of, well, okay, well, this isn't going to be their night. And then even though they're down 2-0, it wasn't bad. And then that first goal, making it 2-1 late in the period, was just huge. You know, I mean, but before tying it up, I mean, that was huge. By the way, and again, I'm not trying to go far too back to that Cap game too much, but I was expecting to be impressed by the Caps with Oshie back, with Backstrom back, with a pretty full team. I wasn't, Razor. I wasn't. And I know that it's a long way to go, but if Peter Laviolette is starting Zach Fucale to get Vanacek and send a message to Samsonov, whatever we're calling now, I think there's got to be a mild concern with that goaltending there in Washington.
There's no question. They've been hitching their horse to Samsonov and hoping he's going to mature and hope he's going to figure it out and hope that he can become a number one guy. They brought Henrik Lundqvist in to mentor him, which didn't work out. But that's, again, to the point of the telling point of Samsonov not being ready to handle this and do this and be consistent, and it seems to be the case again. They're trying to send messages to him again, and it just doesn't work. It get, you know, if you're spending this many messages, it's just like having team meetings, player only meetings, that, you know, they don't work after a little while. So I agree with you 100%. I think obviously they have Ovi, they have the forwards, they're big and strong and powerful, but the Bruins skated around them after gifting them 2 goals early on. The Bruins really did take it to them for the most part.
Yeah, once the Bruins started cleaning up a little bit in their own zone and breaking out, they eliminated what the Caps wanted to do. You know, forecheck, they love, and Peter Laviolette, since he's been there now, really is accentuates their D getting into the play, especially the right side guys, giddy up and go. And the Bruins, really, in the neutral zone, once they thwarted that, did a great job in transition back. They picked up you know, what was it, 7 goals there? I mean, it's funny. It was just the other night. And it feels like 3 years ago.
It feels like a month ago.
I know. Isn't it amazing how shit's happening?
It's
like
weird.
That?
Yeah.
The world sucks right now. But
I guess that's it.
But the Bruins, you know, the Bruins. So once they figured out Washington, they flipped the switch and dominated them. And then they never really, you know, even though Montreal was pretty good early on, they never really, they were never out of control against them. As soon as Marchand scored that first goal, it was donezo, you know, and then he scored a few seconds later again.
Yeah.
It was done. Couple of things to run through. We also got a bunch of questions that we chummed the waters a bit for that. In no particular order, Curtis Lazar, we mentioned he had a goal, but he also had 2 assists. So now he's putting up points the last couple of games. I believe it's now, was it 6 points in the last couple of games for Curtis Lazar? Pretty nice. Pretty. It's going to make him feel pretty damn good. Earl Vakanainen.
Yeah.
So he's got a couple of games now under his belt. And fully, you know, self-admitting, raising my hand, if you're not looking on YouTube but listening on podcasts, that I was concerned about him going against Washington. And he was fine. In fact, more than fine, Razor, he was good against them.
He was. He's been good in the time he's played. And Utah, you read a little. I've been back reading. You know, he's playing well in Providence. He's doing everything in Providence. He's becoming a pro, and that consistency and that powerhouse down there. And it's translated here. And it's always great getting a young kid in the lineup when the team's playing well. And allow him just to kind of fill in, keep it simple, do your thing. It's a lot easier as a younger player to be able to just play your game when your team's winning 5-1 or 7-3. You can really get comfortable much more easily. And it's, so the timing of it's been very good for Vakanainen. And the Bruins need him. That's the reality. They're going to need him to play serious minutes here and really quickly pick up the pace and get up to NHL speed.
Yeah, because, you know, John Moore, the only negative in this game, defenseman going down, John Moore going out, played 9 minutes and 9 seconds, had an assist as well, gets hit, looks like the face, head, whatever you want to call it, hits the glass. Keith Jones talked about on the air, but he does have a history. We know that too. We're hoping, obviously, just precautionary.
Yeah.
But I mean, who knows? I guess the good news, not knowing if they have symptoms or not, but Forbert and Clifton are probably, if I'm assuming, are already at day 3 of their COVID protocolness. Is that right? Mm-hmm. At least 2, if not 3. Yes, you have a game on Thursday night. Okay, well, you're going to most likely play this lineup again, although you do need to bring in another defenseman. I think there's also 1 or 2 guys down in the American League that are on protocol or out on protocol, Razor. I think Ashan.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
yeah, so someone's going to really down the depth chart's going to get a look.
Yeah.
Lucky them.
But then, you know, hopefully by the end of the week, Forbert, Clifton back. Mm-hmm. Let's see. A few other things there. The return of Jake DeBrusk. He plays 15 and a half minutes, 3 shots on goal. He had some jump. He got robbed. He had an assist in the game. He got robbed by Montembeau on one play. We got a few of these questions, and I'm not going to take any particular one, but we've talked about it ad nauseum, you know, at length, but you just keep playing them until the right deal comes along. I mean, you just have to now, I guess, but I keep saying it's going to happen soon, but maybe not. Maybe not it's going to happen, the trade.
We talked about it going into the break that we thought possibly right after, but the way this team's come out and being 7-1 and playing the way they are and Foligno going out, that makes a bit of a difference too, how long he's going to be out.
Supposedly not that long there.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
He took a little twirl today. So, you know, he's not in a cast. Which would look like he could have been in a whole body cast after going down the way.
Well, we knew somebody who thought he was done for the year who wanted, you know, remember?
That's right. Massive, massive problem. Done for the year. Uncle Nick. He's gone.
A buddy of ours.
Yeah, and the other thing is you start looking at a Vaakanainen playing well, a Steen, a Bleed. Do you really start putting a package together?
You have to.
With DeBrusk. You really start to hone in on what you want, because now all of a sudden you have these other pieces that might become much more valuable than what they were even mm-hmm. 3 weeks ago. Really interesting how that's developed. That's that. I think that's more of the development than just the DeBrusk part.
Right. Now you're going to have faith that Vaakanainen, using him as just an example, can do something over the long haul. You know, it took a while, but you were starting to see that from Jakob Zaboral until he went out with that unfortunate knee injury. But there was a whole different vibe with Zaboral when he went out. I'm not ready to give that same vibeness to Vaakanainen just yet. I need 15 games. You know, I need a stretch.
Well, I'm even thinking maybe the other team on the other side doesn't need 15 games though. Maybe they see 3 or 4 games the way they have, and watching them in Providence and say, this is a guy we could really grow with.
Yeah, that's a good point. I know
the Bruins have put a lot of investment in. Bruins have put a lot of investment in them, and you never really want to give that up. But at the same time, there's a, you know, whether it's a Phoenix or a Seattle or something that looks at them and who's rebuilding, saying we could, you know, another one of these guys could help us.
Yeah. Good for him, though, scoring his first goal, getting that one in from the point, a nice screen in front from Curtis Lazar. Congratulations to Vaak, as he is called. Eric Haula with some feistiness in the game. I got to ask you something, you know, because I texted you about this. Michael Pezzetta, I can't figure out that look of his. Now, it was Dauphin that Haula got into it with, but Pezzetta was one of the, I would call, culprit might not be the right word, but one of the guys that was looking to instigate some stuff, in the second period or so with the team down. He's got an interesting look.
Yeah, he almost.
It's kind of like Joe Dirt meets, I don't know what it is. He's got the little stash, the curly hair. I'm just having fun with it. He might be the greatest guy in the world for all I know.
You know, he's got the Canadian. You could definitely see him in a Canadian tuxedo, all denim vest, denim jacket, you know, walking into the buck and doe back home. That's that he has that look for sure. But he had looked at like he at least wanted to be out there. Most of the Canadians didn't. So I will give him that. He almost ended Grizzlick's career.
Yeah,
behind the net. It's amazing how Grizz gets himself in those spots sometimes, but he didn't see him coming. He almost got smoked, but yeah, it's quite the look. He definitely has a good Halloween costume. He definitely, you know, looks good in Montreal when he goes out on Crescent Street.
It's kind of got, it's almost perm like. I'm jealous of the flow he's got. He's got that.
It is perm like.
It, you know, in the back there, and he's got the small stash. And he looks sweet, but listen, here's a kid that took him a while to become an NHLer, and good for him, Pezzetta. Good for him. And as you said, I couldn't agree with you more. It at least looks like his give a heck meter is at a level that he says, look, I want to keep earning, you know, I want to keep earning my paycheck up here, and I want to stay up here. And he's doing that. Yeah. Let's talk about the Apex most entertaining moment in the game. Good people at Apex continue to provide Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor with some wonderful support. And Apex, it might be cold outside, but it is beautiful temperature inside, 100,000 square feet of pure fun. All types of games, perfect for the entire family, young and old. Everybody can find something fun to do. Go check out apexentertainment.com and check out their location in the Boston area in Marlboro. I mean, to me, the most entertaining moment in the game, and for a game that I thought was, I mean, it was kind of just surgical, as I think I thought it was just Brad Marchand getting the game, the second goal. I don't know. I love that hunger of him getting to the puck. That was my moment. Do you have anything? There was another moment I'm going to ask you about. I don't know about most entertaining, but you have a most entertaining moment?
Well, I was going to go to the hat trick. Whenever you have the hats falling on the ice, again, not the prettiest goal to be scored shorthanded, but But anytime you get the, you know, the hats are coming down in the Garden, it's always a blast. So I'm going with that one. If I don't go back one game to the high stick that Brad Marchand took, that's really probably the highlight of the week. And he's scored 5 goals since that.
All right, let's talk about that for a minute.
Didn't look too bad, huh? Did the nose look better to you than what you thought it was going to? I thought it cleaned up pretty well.
It did look clean up well. Credit to the fight doctor. I don't know, you know, the cut man on that. But they, you know, he says it's broken, but he didn't have the big raccoon eyes. He did, you know, just a little bit, and it did heal up well. And it's a matter of, it's amazing, of you know, 40 hours, not even 30 something hours in it. And it looked pretty good. Did you think that Dowd gave it a little extra oomph there? And I guess I'm insinuating intent to be forceful. I don't think he had intent to high stick him in the face, but he sure as hell didn't hold back. At least, you know, and I understand there's a picking of a stick. But I thought that was pretty freaking aggressive when you watch, especially super slow-mo. I thought you saw some pretty good aggressiveness there.
He was extra, extra spicy aggressive, lifting a stick or taking a feed out, taking his hands out. He was trying to get a piece of him with that stick, and he wasn't, it wasn't just a little trying to get the puck off his stick.
Yeah.
Stick lift. It was I'm going to get you one way. And a lot of times, right, those guys, you bring their stick into their midsection and pull them back.
Right.
With
right.
that kind of force. That's that you're trying to lasso the guy, pull him back. And but it was careless, certainly careless. Could have done a lot more damage than what it did to Brad. There's no, you know, if that happens on a Tuesday night, the men's league game, look out. You're going to have a problem because it's careless and aggressive.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I shudder. And I've seen sticks go underneath visors like that, and even more so, and they get caught in there and rock it around, and it is dangerous, as you say. It's entertaining because, you know, we see him on the bench. He's fine. Thank the hockey gods. He's getting glued up and fixed up, and he's doing the Rocky, you know, cut me, Mick, as you said on the air, put me back out there, and he ends up getting back out there eventually, and then it just doesn't seem to bother him. I always found I had a cut in that area. You know, you'd go cross-eyed. You'd just keep looking at it almost. Oh. You know, your eyes just did it. But good for him. Entertaining moment brought to you by Apex, as always. He entertained everybody in the Washington game, and he definitely entertained everybody at TD Garden on Wednesday night in the Montreal game. There was a save in the third period. I don't know if you remember this. Ben Chiarot, who, you know, look, Ben Chiarot's going to be traded. He's going to get them a first-round pick. I don't know. I would take Ben Chiarot on the team, on the Boston Bruins. I would. I would take a big left-handed shot. I just don't know if I can stomach giving up a first-rounder. That's the problem.
After watching him, I watched him a little bit closer tonight for that reason. And it's – I mean, listen, he's in a bad spot. He's in a – I'm sure he's not too excited about it. But he doesn't look like the same guy he did coming out of the Tampa Bay series from my vantage point.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there was a shot, though, by Ben Chiarot, third period. And Linus Ullmark, who gets another win. What is he, 9-2 in his last 11? 9-2. Okay.
No goal. Yeah, 9-2.
9-2, only one allowed. He came out in the funniest, do you remember this one where he kind of, it was like he was like a bandy goaltender or a lacrosse goaltender. He kind of came out into his side, and did I think it was funnier than it was, or do you know which one I'm talking about there?
I do, and it was a little, it's certainly unorthodox, a little comical. And I was talking with another goalie guy after the game, after the Washington game, I guess it would have been Tuesday again, just trying to figure out my days. And just talking about how it looks like sometimes he gets bored. Looks like he sometimes wants to just go completely off the page. And you'll see it with some, like even the glove sit, even the goal that you scored on tonight. Where he just stays down, and then he tries to throw his glove way out. Again, he's a huge guy. He doesn't need to do that. He could just take space, but it almost I get the sense sometimes he just gets bored of the game and wants to go do something else. And that's what that save looked like to me. He was just kind of messing around with his buddy.
Or because of his boredom, he loses focus maybe. And he just, I mean, it's kind of saying the same thing, but maybe it's not intentional, Razor. He just kind of comes out.
Yes.
And it's just that, because I looked at it and I'm like, I haven't, what was that? It was like a side, it was like a power aggressive push, but then he turned to his right side to make a save when all he had to do was come out and stay square. It was yeah. very, again, lacrosse-like almost. And well, maybe not even lacrosse. I don't know what it was. Yeah, it is lacrosse, where you kind of turn to the side with the big stick. Anyways, I thought that was fun and funny there. Let's touch on Tuukka Rask. We haven't talked since he officially signed to the one-year, $1 million prorated contract. It'll be about a little under $600,000, $570,000-something to be exact when it's all fine, or, you know, prorated. Incredibly fair deal. Incredibly fair deal for the Bruins. Does everything for them besides giving them a great goaltender. It gives them a ton of room to move, especially because I still think they will move DeBrusk and his contract, and it allows them, you know, flexibility there. But Tuukka appears to be ready, and he should, assuming, and it does sound like there is a game with the Flyers. I do think Keith Jones would have said at one point, since he also does games for the Philadelphia Flyers, you know, the Bruins playing the Flyers on Thursday, might have said, well, if the Flyers get here, sounds like they're there and should be ready to go. And Tuukka Rask should be ready to go.
Yeah, it'll be fun to see him back out there. I think everyone in the building will be excited. I've had a few calls and texts wondering if I have any scoop. Should I get rid of my tickets for Thursday night, or is Tuukka going to play? I want to go if he's going to play. Lots of that this week. So I think people are excited, and I'm excited to see where his game's at. And especially not playing in Providence. It'll be very fun to see how much he can ramp up and how little he forgot in 8 months of not playing.
So that, you know, we have a bunch of questions about that. This one comes from Mike Parahus. I think that's how Mike, how you say it. If I said it wrong, forgive me. He says, I love Tuukka, and other people have asked about this, but he asked about, shouldn't it be better to have a real game or two under his belt prior to starting an NHL game? That was the plan, he realizes, but obviously not happening. Hindsight will be 2020, but do you think this is a risky proposition, starting him without an AHL game or two under his belt?
I don't think it's that risky. I think ideally you get one game in, but the other side of that coin says, what is that one game really going to give him? If he plays that one game in Providence and Providence ends up winning 5-1, like Boston did tonight, gives up 20 shots and he doesn't, what's that really going to do too? So yep. You can look at it on both sides. Tuukka's played more than enough games that, you know, he's going to be rusty either way as well. The pace of, again, the games, and I talked about it, we talked about it, the Providence game was more about how he's going to feel afterwards, having a few plays of chaos and how he's going to feel afterwards. It wasn't to really get up to speed, because the pace at Providence is so much different than the pace in the NHL. He's not going to get that out of one game. He's better, you know, he's been practicing so much with the Bruins. He's getting more out of that when it comes to NHL pace than what he would in Providence. So yeah. It's not risky like crazy. I can't believe they're doing it. Again, I think you would have liked to get one game, but I also get back to back and they want to get him out there. So
okay.
It'll be fun. I'm with you.
I'm with you on that. Let's get to a few other questions, and then we're going to finish up with the Swayman being sent to Providence scenario, which we had already talked about. I'm going to fly through some of these. Dean Clark says, please tell me the Bruins have no interest in Kane. Sounds like a statement, not a question, but I do think that that's his question. I don't think they have any interest, and I'm glad they don't have any interest. I think that would have been a mistake. We had mentioned that before, too. Boss at Mike Boston 777, it looks like, our buddy there. Bruins need some big body toughness. Are you guys, would it be better on D or forward, the big body? Now, no Foligno, no Frederick right now. So. Mm-hmm. And obviously, no Forbert. Now, Forbert is not what you call an overly physical D-man, though, at 6'4", 2 whatever, but at least he's got some size. Assuming that Frederick and Foligno Razor can come back and are all right, I'd still love to see a big body power forward up there, but I really want to see some physical presence added to the back end. That's my answer. Yours?
No question. Back end all the way. And if anything up front, I want to see a little more skill, a little more pizzazz up there if they're going to go that way and bulk up on the back end.
Okay. Do you think Oscar Steen had two questions on that? With everybody being healthy, does Oscar Steen stay in? I saw that from somebody too, and I'm sorry. That's from Cam Bommel. Do you think Steen stays in third line right wing when everybody comes back from injury or COVID list?
I do yes.
Right now.
Yeah, I do. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Here's one. Joe Bruin Blood. Nothing anyone can complain about. Even in the loss, they busted their asses. He says, question is, what do you think it'll take to get Chychrun? And would you just do what it takes? He says he would. And thank you. I mean, it's going to take a lot. Somebody had asked me earlier, I believe on Twitter or somewhere, would DeBrusk and Grizzlick get Jacob Chychrun? No. It wouldn't. And it wouldn't come close to it. So you're sweetening it with probably a first round pick and then one of your top prospects. So, you know, are you giving up basically two first rounders and then other for Chychrun? I mean, I'd consider it. I mean, because you know that Chychrun is going to play in theory, right, for many years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you always get concerned about those young guys that have been in a place like Arizona, never really figured it out, never really had to play a hard game, never really. That is a concern, especially for an organization like the Bruins. You've seen them stay away from guys like that, those young players that don't have any pedigree to them. So that would concern me, giving up a lot of anything you've grown on your own. That would be my way of putting it.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, if Chychrun were to come around and you didn't have to give up one of your, I mean, they're going to ask for crazy stuff, but if you could do
they're
a big
gonna
pack
ask for first round, Fabian Lysell,
right,
Jake DeBrusk and Euro Vakanainen.
Maybe even more than Vakanainen. They might. I'm throwing this. Well, they wouldn't ask for a Craig Smith. I'm saying because of where he has.
They don't. They just want.
They
young
want
guys,
young.
Yeah.
They want. Yeah. They want young. Young. Maybe a Beecher, who I understand at Michigan has been up and down and hasn't produced. But I don't know. I don't know. You'd have to consider. But it'd be interesting. Here's another one from Sean Gill. One more. I'm just going to take, and then we're going to talk Sway, and then be done. Is Krejci coming back, and why is it now called Czechia instead of Czech Republic? I can't answer the second part. They just decided to change that.
Yeah, that was just a memo sent to the World Juniors tournament.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure why the Czech Republic, I always called it that, decided to go that way. But, hey, that's their call. Is David Krejci coming back? I don't think so. Doesn't feel like it to me.
No.
I don't know. I don't take it that way, and I don't know if he'd even clear waivers if he would coming back.
It would be a massive shock, I think, for all of us if he did at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm certainly leaning the other way. I guess David being on the second line, Pasternak for that matter, might help lure him, I suppose. But no, it doesn't feel like he's coming back.
No, not to me either. Let's touch on, and by the way, we'll touch on Swayman here as we wrap up this morning brew. Let's go to Swayman. And I did an interview this morning, and I'm just looking for some notes here quickly. That was the reason for the pause. But I was looking for numbers of other young goalies who are now considered higher-end goalies in the league. I've already brought up Thatcher Demko's name before. He's one of them. He played 100 and I think 6 or 7 games in the American League, Razor. And I'm not trying to sell you because I know you believe in Swayman going to the American League. Demko played 3 years at college hockey. So did Swayman. Demko became a regular at 25. I firmly believe that Swayman will be a regular starter for this team at 25 too, a year and 2 years, basically. I do. And I don't even know if he'll be in the American League the whole time. You know what I'm saying? I think he'll be the starter in that. There's other goaltenders too, and one of them jumped out at me is Igor Shesterkin. Now, Shesterkin only played 20-something games in the American League just due to the fact that he played pro in the KHL for a handful of years where he was playing a boatload of games. I mean, never 60, 70, but 40s and 50 at that level. But he didn't become the big guy until he was 25, turning 20. You know, I think he's just turned 26 now. So there's another look at me type comparison there. And the other one, and he's just finally coming into his own, is Tristan Jarry, who played 2.5, 3 years in the American League in Wilkes-Barre. And I wasn't sold on him until this year, where I'm much more sold on him with what he's been doing so far. Am I ready to anoint him the end-all, be-all? No. But it sure as heck looks like the maturity part has come into play. And he had a tough go of it last year in the NHL. Remember, they were considering, you know, trying to get another goalie. Mm-hmm. So I look at all that history, and not that I need to convince myself either, but I say the numbers prove this out. If Swayman, who I firmly believe, by the way, will play some games in the NHL again this season, I do. I really do. But if Swayman really produces the way he can and the Bruins then bring him along at the right way, at 25 years old, you should have your next big-time starter for the Bruins. And this little blip will be just that for him. That's what I believe. That's what I'm hoping for.
This is the norm. This is what normally happens, what everyone is dealing with. What wasn't the norm is the last year and a half for Jeremy Swayman. That never happens. It happened because of COVID. It happened because of the circumstances of everybody's situation, but it's not normal, and we're getting back to that normal, and that's why it's good for him to go there. There's so many more. Jacob Markstrom. Another guy played a bunch of years in the minors, yes. Went to the Calder Cup finals for Vancouver before he went. Carey Price won a Calder Cup trophy in the AHL before he made it to the NHL, up and down. Just go through every team. Jack Campbell in Toronto, Darcy Kemper in Colorado. Like, everybody has gone to the minors and played in the minors. And even next season, if Jeremy Swayman's going to play 60 games in the minors next year, come up and play 10, 7, 9 games in the NHL, that's moving along. Like, he has to go on a long playoff run in the minors. He's never won a playoff series. It was in Maine. It's not best of 7. It's not, he's got to do all these things before he's completely ready. He's got to ride buses. He's got to play and fly all over still. He still hasn't really gone out to LA. He still hasn't played 3-3. All of these things that build you, that build scar tissue, that build strength mentally and physically to play in the NHL and be that guy consistently is what he needs. So it's completely normal that this is happening. It's not, there's no need for outrage or outcry and feel bad for him. It's a little disappointing, and he's going to make a little bit less money the next few weeks than he was, but he'll get over it and he'll be better for it.
Yeah. And he was disappointed, as Don Sweeney told the media. You know, he looked at him and said, okay, I guess he stared at him and said, okay, if these two guys falter, will I get the net? And I love his hunger. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with the kid being confident. It's part of who he is. And he'll go down and work his ass off. He will. He'll go down with a smile. He'll do well. He'll be back. He will be the goalie of the future here, folks. A Finn and a Swede now in nets for the Bruins. They've had that before, though, right? Didn't they have it with the monster, Jonas Gustafsson.
Jonas Gustafsson.
Yeah, they had that. I was wondering if they had it before, and I came up with that. So I'm looking forward to Tuukka time on Thursday. We are not doing the game on Thursday. That is on one of the Ocho, I think. I don't know what it's on. ESPN Plus or
you probably
whatever.
Can't even get it.
I'm not sure.
Won't be able to see him.
I was going to ask you about to talk about the broadcast and the stuff, but you know what? I'm not even going to go there. I'm not.
Yeah.
Not going to talk about it. Then the Bruins are back at home again on Saturday. And an afternoon, a 1 o'clock game against Nashville. Razor will be doing that game. I am off we're all off for Thursday, and then I'm going to be off on Saturday, heading to Buffalo. At least that's the plan, and not for the Patriot game, but for youth hockey.
You could bump into Bill's Mafia if you needed to. maybe we last will. Minute, you know?
I'm sure they will be decked out in their favorite pair of Zubas.
Yes.
And we will look for that. But no, heading on the road and hoping that all goes well there. So that's going to wrap up this morning, Brew with Jaffee and Razor. The Bruins continue to win 6-1 in their last seven games. They beat Washington 7-3. They beat the Montreal Canadiens 5-1. Linus Ullmark wins the last two games, but it's Tuukka time come Thursday night. We'll see how that goes. If anything significant happens, Razor and I can always jump on a quickie. But otherwise, our next scheduled Morning Brew with Jaffee and Razor scheduled to come out after the game on the 18th, so in 6 days from now. Razor, be good. Everybody else, be good. Stay warm. It's going to get chilly again. And treat yourself to another cup of coffee.